Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
It's good to see y'all this morning. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in Revelation chapter 1. And we're in our Trusting God series, and the title of today's message is Seven Reasons We Can Trust Him. Let's read the scripture, starting in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Now look at verse 12. Skip to verse 12, and we're going to go through verse 18. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you that we serve a risen Savior, a resurrected, glorious, Shekinah glory Savior who is in the midst of the lampstands, your church. And Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, encourage our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to see in Revelation all connects together of who Jesus is so that it will encourage your trust in who he is and what he has come to do. So the first one is this: seven reasons we can trust him. Number one, and it's in verse 7 and 8, is his omnipotence. Pay close attention to the last word that is used there. So let's look at verse 7 and 8. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. And then John adds, even so, so be it. Even so, amen. Then he says in verse 8, he tells who he is. I am the Alpha, first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and the Omega, last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. He says, I am the beginning and the end. Says, who says it? Says the Lord, who is, he was from the beginning, who was, he was on this earth, and he came to this earth, and who is to come? The Almighty. And he is the returning Savior coming to take his church to be with him forever and ever and ever. Now look at the word that Jesus used in this letter. He used the word Almighty. Almighty means omnipotence. That's the first word on your outline. It means all-powerful. All being omni, and then omnipotence being all-powerful. He is the Almighty God, and he claims that title for himself. In other words, you can trust him to keep his word. Are you reading his word and trusting his promises? You can trust his word because the Almighty backs it up, the all-powerful God. The second coming of Jesus is the central theme of Revelation. The second coming of Jesus is mentioned over 500 times in the Bible. And the second coming of Jesus is the next thing on the divine calendar for what God has for his church. The first time he came and his glory was veiled. The second time he comes in exaltation. Now, you've got to understand that because verses 7 and 8 are introducing us to the other verses before each church is addressed, the seven churches. And so we need to understand what he's trying to say. I was thinking, Kevin, as we were singing that song in the beginning, Behold, he comes riding on the clouds. Make a note of Matthew 24:30. I want to read it to you. He says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. It's going to be so great that earth is going to react to it. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We'll see that glory here in a minute. That power is what we're looking at, His omnipotence. And then He closes it with amen at the end of His proclamation of who He is. He says that He is, even so, amen. Look at that in verse 7, because I want you to draw a connection real quick before we move to the next point. He says, even so, amen. Does that remind you of something? Remember what He said in almost the very last verse in Revelation, one verse shy of being the last verse. Remember what He says. Even so, Jesus, come quickly. And then He says, amen. And that means, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And He even says that in Revelation 22, verse 20. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. By the way, I wish I had time, because in verse 20, when He says that, surely I am coming quickly, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus, is in the strongest language that you can put it in. It is as if John is hollering through a megaphone to tell the world, He's coming back. And he says, even so, come quickly. It's as if he's begging the Lord, leave heaven today and come on to earth. Do you ever feel that way? A lot of times when I'm going down the highway, I'm like, Lord, just come right now. I don't want to be carrying anybody lost with me on that day. But it's like, Lord, I'm just so ready for you to come back. Are you eager for his return? The second one is his presence. Look at verse 12. The first one is omnipotence. The second reason we can trust him is his presence. He says in verse 12, then I turned to see the voice. He heard a voice and he turned to see where it was coming from. That spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Now we know these seven golden lampstands are the seven churches of Asia that he is going to write to starting in chapter 2. But also the lampstands are all of the Lord Jesus Christ church, his kingdom of churches. And that's important to understand. If I don't know if you, when you fly at night, I know when we were flying to and back from Brazil, I love to look out the window. I love to get a window seat, but I always have a crick in my neck when we land in the airport. But I like to look out the window. And at night, you see all those lights on planet Earth. That's the way we look in the spiritual realm. Whenever the wicked host, whenever Satan and all of his demons looks at the church and looks into the world, what they see is we are the bright lights in a dark world. Doesn't that encourage your heart? And Jesus is the power of that light. And we'll get into that in just a second. So he is present. Look at what he says. Continue on through there in verse 13. And in the midst, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, of the seven lampstands, that's the churches. In context, it's the seven churches. One, like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. What he's trying to say here is so important. It's what Jesus was saying and what was meant by Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission in verse 20. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ because his presence is with you. Guess what? Right now, today, in this church, the Lord Jesus Christ is here today. He is here in your heart, and he is here in the midst of his people. It's Christ in you, and it's Christ among you. I hope verses are just coming to your mind like crazy right here. But then look at the third one in verse 13, the first part. The third one is his power is a reason you can trust him. His omnipotence was the first one. That was his all-powerful. That's his omnipotence of who he is, his inward and his personal power. But then we get down here to number three, and now we're looking at the Son of Man as your advocate, as your representative. You have a power that you can tap into. You have been designed as a Christian and given a nature that plugs in like a socket and a plug in your house. You have been designed to hook up to the Lord Jesus Christ via the Holy Spirit. Nobody else, only the born-again believer, has been given that kind of nature and given that kind of connection. And it's powerful. Look at verse 13. He says, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, that's the presence of God, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. And that is a picture of him as the intercessor. That's number four. But I want to finalize a couple of things on number three. You say, how do you connect to his power? You say, I'm going through a rough time right now, or I'm having to trust God for finances, or I'm having to trust God for this, or I'm having to trust God in my marriage, or I'm having to trust God for that. You know what the Lord says, or what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 after he goes through some of the spiritual armor? He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, there it is, and in the power of his might. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus is your power, and that's why he is in the midst of his people, and it's to empower and to enable you to do the work of a Christian and to serve him in his ministry that he has planned for you. It is an amazing thought. But then number four, he is our intercessor. And I want you to see that. That's the last part of verse 13. One, like the Son of Man. Notice man is capitalized. That's his deity. It's the fact that Jesus came to this earth. He's already been the man who was and is, and now he is the one to come. And he is the one clothed in glory at the right hand of the Father. He is clothed with a garment. That's his high priestly garment. Clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. That is the very picture of the attire of the priest that was given to Aaron in the book of Exodus. You can write it down. Exodus chapter 28, verse 4. That was the attire given. Leviticus 16, verse 4, we see it again. And that attire is that of a priest. The difference is this. Aaron was a human being. He was a normal man like us with a nature like ours. Jesus Christ didn't have a nature like ours. Jesus Christ came from heaven, and he took up on himself a nature similar to ours, but he was God through and through. He was 100% man and 100% God, and he kept the law perfectly for those 33 years. He died on the cross, and his blood was so clean and without blemish and born of a virgin, so it had no inheritance from Adam. And here Jesus is, the innocent Lamb of God, and he dies for our sins, and he earns the right to stand at the right hand of God, to be not only our intercessor, but our advocate. And as your advocate, he is your intercessor. And so you can write down Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28, when the Bible talks about that the Spirit prays for us. In other words, when you pray, the Spirit is making groanings that you cannot interpret. And then in verse 28, the Bible says that all things work together for the good to them that know him, that know the Lord. Why? Because you have an intercessor. You have an advocate. That's your lawyer, your representative that is standing at the right hand of God. Every time Satan accuses you of a sin, Jesus, your lawyer, your advocate, steps up and says, wait a minute, I covered that one too. Wait a minute, I covered that one too. Wait a minute, guess what, Satan? I covered all of those sins. They've all been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's your advocate. He is your high priest. That verse, you're probably wondering where it is. It's 1 John 2:1. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, capital A, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous. Number five, I love number five. This is verse 14. He is your Ancient of Days. That's the symbol of his head and his hair. Look at verse 14. Ancient of Days, capital A and a capital D, because it's a title. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. Now, you think about his hair and his being white, and it's like wool, and it's white as snow. You say, what is the symbolism in that? What is the symbolism in the returning Lord Jesus, the Lord that is my intercessor, the Lord that is my power, the Lord that is all power? What is the picture of that? Here is the picture. It means that he is one with the Father. Ancient of Days is in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, Daniel has seen a vision of the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is the Heavenly Father. It's God the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, in John chapter 14. And so he gets right here and he says, the one in whom you trust. Now, the Jews of that day and the Christians of that day, when they are hearing Revelation chapter 1 being read to them, they immediately drew the connection because they understood what the symbolism of Ancient of Days was. And it's in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. He says, I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. White symbolizes his eternal and holy glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy from one end to the other, without spot or without blemish. His glory is Shekinah glory. His glory is like brilliant light. In fact, when he was transfigured on the mountain, remember what happened. His raiment shone like the brightness of that no launderer soap could remove. It was so bright and so white. That's his glory. And we have that kind of a Savior. We have that kind of a glory. And when Jesus comes back, like the song we sang earlier, riding on the clouds, he ain't coming back the way he came the first time. He's coming back in all of his glory. He's coming back in Shekinah glory. And it's going to be so great that according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, that all of the earth is going to have to react to it. Amen. It's going to be that great. Man, one day we're going to see a flash that's like anything. Flash Gordon ain't got nothing on what this is going to be like. It's going to be awesome. And he is the Ancient of Days. Matthew 16:27 says this, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father. The glory of his Father is what we're talking about, the Ancient of Days. His hair were white like wool, describing Jesus. Jesus takes up on himself the attributes of the Father when it comes to his deity. He is one with the Father. I don't know how to explain the Trinity. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I've heard all kinds of different illustrations how to explain it. All I know is the Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The Father, the Lord our God, is one, but he expresses himself in three different persons. The person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit. I believe it. He says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father, that's the Ancient of Days, with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. You can trust him because Jesus possesses the same attributes of the Father. Number six, he is omnipresent. Omni meaning all. He is all present. That's his eyes. Look at verse 14 again. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Now watch this. And his eyes like a flame of fire. We could go back into Daniel and see that again. His eyes like a flame of fire. The picture there is this. What does fire do? Fire burns all the way down to the middle. Fire burns all the way through to the nucleus of anything that it destroys. Fire is what destroys. Fire figures things out. Fire takes it down from layer to layer. And the meaning is this, that Jesus has eyes just like a flame of fire. He can burn off the outer layer and see the next layer. He can burn off the next layer and see the next layer. And Jesus, when he sees you and I, listen, he knows every detail of your life better than you do. He knows your every thought. He knows exactly what's going to happen in this world today in 1 minute. You see, Jesus is so far ahead of us. Why? Because he has all-seeing eyes. In fact, you can write this scripture down. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So what's the picture of the eyes? The picture of the eyes is this. While we wait on his return, we need to be living for him because we're going to have to give an account for how we lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our stewardship as a born-again Christian. Now, he's not going to send you to hell because you didn't live perfectly, but living for him is a sign of salvation. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But what he's going to do is take all of the things that you've done in his name and he's going to reward you for it for eternity. For eternity. Think about that. The day that you pass away as a Christian or he comes for you first, all that you've done in this body is going to all of a sudden matter. You may have forgot about that cup of cold water that you gave to somebody when they were in time of need and you did it in the name of Jesus. He didn't forget. I like to think of it like you get to heaven, and I don't know how it's going to be, but I like to think of it, you walk into your spiritual, heavenly, awesome home, your mansion, and I mean, there's going to be all these images popping up of every work you did, and you'll see the blessing of it for all of eternity. You're going to say, you know, sometimes I just can't tithe. Consider the effect of your tithe when you get to eternity. Because what tithe says is I don't depend on myself or my logic. I depend on God and what God can do. And that's going to be in heaven. Every person that you've ever helped, every check you've ever written for the glory of God through whatever it is, missions, whatever, every person, every good deed you've done in the name of Jesus is going to live for eternity in heaven. And we have just a blink of time to invest in that eternal bank account. Just a blink of time compared to all of eternity. And his eyes see everything. Everything's open to him. Then number 7, we have his authority. That's his feet. You see that throughout the scriptures. Look at verse 15. His authority. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. You know what this is? This is a picture of his authority. It's a picture that he is king. In fact, if you look in the Gospels, if you look in the book of Matthew, you'll find all kinds of things about kingship. Because Matthew portrays the Lord Jesus as a king. He's the King of Kings. You go to Luke and we have an autopsy that takes place there. If you look in the very first verses of Luke, he says that we are eyewitnesses to these things, and he wants to give an orderly account. The word for eyewitnesses that is used in Luke chapter 1 is the word where we get autopsy. Luke is saying, I'm going to do an autopsy on the life of Jesus, and I'm going to allow you to see into his life. And as you go through Luke, you find that he is seeking the lost. He comes as our atonement. He comes as our redeemer. And so he has the authority to save. He has the authority to take you home when you pass away. He has the authority to prepare for you a place even before you arrive, John 14, chapter 1. He has the authority to do it. He has the authority to enable you. He has the authority to empower you. He has the authority to bless you. He has the authority to change circumstances in your life because you're trusting him and you're following him. He has the authority for every detail of your life, but he wants us to recognize that. Because what we tend to do is we want to have the authority. Lord, I have the authority of my bank account. Boy, that's a laughable one. He can fix that overnight. He's fixed mine a time or two. He has the authority of every area of our life. And his feet are like fine brass. Have you ever thought about the picture of the feet? The Bible says, until I make your enemies my footstool. In other words, your enemy is going to be like sitting down in a nice, comfortable chair, Jesus, and they're going to be your footstool. You're going to prop your feet up on your enemies. They'll be your footstool. You know what happened during the times of the kings? They had a throne that they set up. The throne was elevated. And it was done that way on purpose to show that that king has authority over you. And so when you're brought in for trial or for a request, sometimes you might come to the king like Esther did for a request. And you're going to be at a low level. You're going to bow down. You're going to get on your knees and you're going to confess that that guy is the king. And then you're going to come, oh, King Most High. And you're going to plead for his mercy or you're going to plead for his help. One of the two in something. And so you come before the king and his feet are elevated at a higher level than what you have approached him. Jesus Christ has been given all judgment and all authority from the Father. And his feet are elevated above all the kingdoms of this world. Whenever this world and whenever the dictators and whenever the, whether it be ISIS or the Taliban or anybody else begins to raise their flags, there is another flag that has been raised. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood that he will lift up a standard against him. There is some feet that are a whole lot higher than their feet. There is some feet and it's the feet of Jesus and his feet are as if refined in a furnace, that of fine brass. In other words, he's been refined to earn his right to the authority. How was he? How did he be refined and his feet become like fine brass. It was through his incarnation. It was through his crucifixion and his death. And he bought us, according to 1 Corinthians, he bought us at a price. His feet have been polished up to have the authority over our life. But look at the last one. The last one is not a reason to trust him. It is a fruit of trusting him. Our victory is assurance. It's assurance. You got to see this. Look at verse 16. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, the word of God, his word. He is the word that became flesh. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. In other words, he is so filled with glory, it's just expressed all about him. Can't wait till we see Jesus face to face. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. We've seen that with Daniel, with Ezekiel, and with others in the Bible. You'll fall as dead. I think it's like passing out. Because whenever John the Apostle came before the Lord right here, John in his state that he was in, he couldn't stand. Remember whenever Jesus was being arrested in John chapter 18? And they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? Remember what happens? I love these verses. Because what happens? I am he. Whew. Everybody falls. That would have been enough right now. I ain't arresting this guy. Y'all can. I'm out of here. So they ask him again. They just didn't get it the first time. Are you Jesus of Nazareth? I am he. Fall to the ground. You see, Jesus is God, fully God, fully God. And John came before him in all of his glory and in all of his holiness, and he fell at his feet as dead. And then Jesus, he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, I think that the minute that the hand of Jesus, the compassionate, redeeming hand, the loving hand of Jesus, the lost soul-seeking hand of Jesus, as soon as it touched John, he allowed healing to come into John. And John was able to come back up and stand before him. He says, do not be afraid. John is fixing to see things that are going to blow his mind. And he says, I'm the first and I'm the last. Now look at verse 18. This is so powerful. This is your assurance right here. He says, John, I am he who lives. He's not dead. He's not in that tomb. He's alive. He says, I am he who lives and was dead. Yeah, I was dead for you. And look, that's the word for behold. And look, John. Look, John, you're on the Isle of Patmos and you're in exile. And you're wondering, where am I at times? And you're worshiping me today on the Lord's Day. Look, John, look at me. He says, I am alive forevermore. And then he says, amen. We see it again. That means, let it be so. And then he looks back at John and he says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. That's your assurance. You say, how do you apply that to our heart, just like this? If you're born again and you know Jesus as your Savior, you can never die. That's why Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will never die. And then Jesus asked the question, because it's contingent on this question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? It's contingent upon that. Do you believe this? You say, well, I see lots of people that die. No, they put off their tent. They put off their body. They're not dead. I see Virgil's here today and Anna and all of your family. And my goodness, your sweet wife, Faye Pruitt, had such a walk with the Lord. I used to tell her every Sunday. She passed away at 11:17 Friday night. And I used to tell her every Sunday that she'd come in here, seeing her at a hospital or a rehab center. I'd say, Faye, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And when she'd come in, she'd say, I'm still putting one foot in front of the other. I want to tell you, she's putting one foot in front of the other right now on the streets of gold, because she loves Jesus. And Virgil, your heart for Christ is unbelievable. When we get to heaven, I'll be living in a teepee. You're going to have a great big mansion. I tell you, you're just an amazing Christian. Good to see y'all today. That's our assurance. We live because He lives. We have joy for eternity because He has joy for eternity. Our heavenly bodies will be indestructible because His resurrected body is indestructible. We will walk the streets of gold because He walks the streets of gold. And we will one day in a twinkle of an eye, and according to 1 Thessalonians 4, we will meet the Lord in the air because He is in the air. That's our assurance. Are you going through a trial today? Loneliness, depression, trying to find purpose in life? I want you to understand you have a God who loves you, and one day, you're going to meet Him. If you pass away from natural causes or whatever it may be, you're going to meet Him. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. You're going to meet Him instantaneously, and you're going to see that all of that assurance is true, just as John found out right here on the Isle of Patmos. You have a God who has all authority, omnipotence, omnipresence. He is every bit of it. And He is going to see to it that His will be completely fulfilled. Let's pray.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.